Does the upbeat economic data we're getting this week add up to a strong economy?
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's word this morning that consumer spending rebounded in May, with personal income up the most in 3 months. On Thursdays, we check in with economist Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So this week, home prices up, now personal spending and income. But what's your level of optimism about all this?
Well, it's cautious optimism because we saw some downward revisions earlier in the week to GDP as well, driven by downward revisions to consumer spending. And so what we saw was more fiscal drag than we initially thought in the first quarter. And consumers are showing some strong gains on things like spending on big ticket autos and durable goods. That's good, and non-durables. But spending on services for the second month in a row actually showed a decline.
In fact, you flagged some details on healthcare spending in America.
Yes, what we've seen is services spending has suffered both because of an unusually cool spring where people aren't turning on their air conditioners as much as usual, but also because we're seeing a moderation in medical spending. People are either not going to the doctor as much because they don't have the coverage they once did, or the actual medical inflation has moderated because we've seen some efficiencies out there. The medical industry is responding to this shortfall in people going to the doctor, and that is all putting some drag on services consumption, which is the largest part of the U.S. economy.
Now, the Dow had that 353-point drop. It was a week ago now. We'll check to see if that drop has been erased in just a sec. But there are also bond yields.
Yes, what we've seen is the Federal Reserve has sort of circled their wagons, and bond yields spiked up sharply. The market corrected, and the world, you know, as we thought we knew it, was coming to an end as far as markets were concerned, because they didn't believe the Fed when the Fed said tapering's still easing. They just got confused. I think no one wants to see the sausage being made, and it was just too much information. We've seen more people speaking today and showing up the view the Fed is not going to end stimulus anytime soon. In fact, we've now begun to see those bond yields start to come off as well. And that's very important for things like the mortgage market and all of the things that the U.S. economy has been in contingent on in terms of growing.
In fact, the 10-year bond yield now is at about 2.5%. Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
Today, the New York Times Company takes bids from what is reportedly 8 interested buyers of the Boston Globe. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has a look at why anyone would want to buy a newspaper in 2013.
Bids for the Globe are expected to be in the $100 million range. The New York Times Company paid more than $1 billion for the publication 10 years ago. Still, newspapers are a good buy, says Tom Rosensteel, executive director of the American Press Institute.
These are still businesses that make money. Newspapers have stabilized their revenue picture, and now, importantly, there are new categories of revenue that have emerged.
Like paywalls. Rosensteel says consumers seem more willing to shell out for digital content. And he says newspapers are better positioned to create mobile ads and online ads with local businesses than, say, Google.
We have the relationships with these stores. We've had them for years and years and years. That's different than a big company in Mountain View that is doing everything digitally.
Rosensteel says many papers are also advising local businesses on the transition to the digital age. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Curved TV tubes, if you think about it, were a feature of the 1950s and 60s households. Then everything got flat, then flat and thin. Now curved TVs are back. Today, Samsung put on sale its first curved TV screen, a $13,000 unit using organic LED technology. Why, you ask? Because some say they look cool, and maybe in the corner of the living room they'd look especially cool.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
Today, NBA teams draft the most promising basketball players to go pro. A player named Nerlens Noel is expected to be the top pick, even though he's hurt and can't play for now. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler considers how injuries affect a player's worth.
The NBA draft is a rite of passage for pro basketball players. Scott Rosner is a sports business professor at the Wharton School.
They've worked their entire lives to be an NBA draft pick, and you actually, at the draft, see them realizing their life dream.
But will they realize their athletic promise? Rosner says that's harder to answer when a player's injured. And that's the case with several of the top draft picks.
You don't know how they're necessarily rehabbing from their injuries. How long is recovery going to take? Will they be the same player as before?
Sometimes the body can heal perfectly, but the player is still never the same. David McAllister is chief of sports medicine at UCLA.
There can sometimes be a lack of confidence or a psychological component to injury recovery that is also a very important part of a player's ability to return to their high level of function.
Then again, an injury can be overvalued, causing managers to pass on a good player. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And in Wales, there's an official website with advice to young people on entrepreneurship. Among the ideas offered, how to set up a lap dancing business or escort services. One elected official ambushed a government minister with this discovery, asking, quote, "Are they the kind of aspirational career opportunities the Welsh government should be actively promoting to young people?" An investigation has been launched. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.